The Bitter Roots by C.J. Box. Narrated for you by Christina Delane. She brushed crumbs from a half dozen chocolate-covered mini donuts from her lap and lifted her gaze from the empty sidewalk that led to the front door of the hotel to the fire on the distant mountain. It was mesmerizing and officially out of control. The long fire line extended across the entire southern face of the range like an orange zipper. It dipped into canyons and emerged on the other side. It raced down over meadows and plateaus and spots, but never broke contact with the extended fire line itself. Because it was dark, there was no delineation between the fresh fuel in front of the blaze and the smoking cinders behind it. The fire seemed like a living thing, a snake, a nocturnal beast more alive at night than during the day. It burned bright enough that it stained the bellies of low-hanging clouds with pink hues. When Cassie closed her eyes, the fire lingered as if imprinted inside her eyelids. She could imagine the line of fire eating its way down through the timber and eventually consuming the grassland of the prairie all the way to I-90 and Big Timber itself, unless the wind turned it west or south. Like most of the summer, the September air was thick with smoke. It haloed the few downtown streetlights, and she could smell it on her clothing. She had a sore throat from breathing it in all day. On some mornings, she brushed a thin film of white ash from the hood and windshield of her Jeep Cherokee, as if it were snow in the winter. It had been the summer of fire in Montana, and it wasn't over yet. She thought about how many fires there were, 17 at last count throughout the state, and how they'd likely keep burning until the snow finally put them out. They could be seen from space. Both the state and federal budget for fighting them had run out of funds in mid-August. Hundreds of thousands of acres of timber had burned, so much that the numbers no longer had meaning. Several hundred mountain cabins and homes were destroyed, and dozens of towns had been evacuated more than once. Against the backdrop of the summer of fire, the case for finding Antlerhead seemed very small in the grand scheme of things. She felt small as well. The phone in her lap chimed and lit up again, and Cassie was afraid it was Rachel again. Instead, it was a text message from her 14-year-old son, Ben, who was home in Bozeman, 61 miles to the west. "When are you home?" She replied that it would be a few hours, that he needed to do his homework and go to bed and to not wait up for her. "She's feeding me brown rice again,"